The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Hope you're going to have a good time listening. And I don't know, the mic's had a little off to me, but because of a different system we've got going, it's a little something different, but maybe that'll make it better right there. Give me some feedback on how it sounds. All right, now look, if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right, hey, just want to let you know that my goal, in a lot of ways, is to teach Christian theology, answer questions, equip Christians, reach the lost, and things like that. And so TikTok has always been something that I've kind of avoided because I didn't trust it. But I bit the bullet and went onto TikTok. My computer's all safe and everything. Anyway, a lot of people have been asking me to get on there. A lot of people have been over the years, months, I should say. And so I did, and I discovered that I have an old account there that I didn't even know, I forgot was there. And so it took a while. I unearthed it, and we have over 570 some odd followers on TikTok. The reason I'm mentioning this is because someone told me that in TikTok there is so much heresy being taught from so many different groups. So I've been on it now for a week and a half, and wow, they weren't kidding. There are people who claim to be Christians who attack biblical orthodoxy, who promote baptismal regeneration, varying heresies, Jesus is not God, etc. And so I've been visiting various avenues. It's hard for me to figure out how to work this thing yet, but I'm still figuring it out. And we're going there, and the goal is to get 1,000 followers. Once I get 1,000 followers, then, from what I understand, I can then do live broadcasts where I can go on and start teaching, and people can come in. I can have helpers who will moderate, and I've already got people lined up who want to do that. And so going in there into TikTok, several people have said, hey, it's, you know, you're finally on here. And so they're grateful for that, and I am too. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. And just giving you a heads up, if you're on TikTok, you can search for me, Matt Slick. I think it's just at Matt Slick. I just flat out Matt Slick. And not any numbers, not any letters after, just Matt Slick. And you can then follow me if you want. And all I need is up to 1,000. And then I can start doing broadcasts. And I've already got people who are saying that they will host broadcasts where I can equip Christians on how to do apologetics. And that sounds like a really good idea. And also teach them biblical theology and answer questions. I'm certainly not saying I get all the answers, but I want to share with what I have learned by God's grace and hopefully help others in the process. So there you go. That's it. I've been on Discord. I've been on, Discord and, Clubhouse and some other, you know, I just get on them. And I go in there and try and answer questions. And by God's grace, it's been successful. All right. Why don't we just get on the air with Jermaine? Hey, Jermaine, man, welcome, buddy. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I was continuing my Israel series. I had a question about, you know, support versus Zionism. Maybe you can break down the difference in those, because I've always seen myself as someone who is a supporter of Israel, but I'm not a Zionist, as the way I understand it. And I see some Orthodox Jews and other people who say that Zionism is not actually a part of Judaism, but no one actually breaks down what exactly Zionism is. So I wanted to see if there is there a biblical reference for it.
What I understand Zionism to be is the socioeconomic religious grouping that deals with Israel as a specific location. The people of Israel are to be located in that geographical area, and that's Zionism. That's what I understand it to be. So I could go on, let's see, go on Google here.
That's my understanding as well. It seems as some people have a more extreme view of that, that says that basically everything belongs to the people who follow that particular line of thinking, and it excludes everybody else, like literally everybody.
Yeah, I had to do some research on it. Maybe I'll write an article on what is Zionism, because there's probably going to be different degrees of definitions about what it is and isn't. And, you know, and that's what it is. I've never really studied it. You know, you'd think I would have by now, but I haven't. So what I'm going to do is I'll have to study it and see what we can come up with. But I have no problem supporting Israel as to the right of the land. They have that right because that's what God gave them. And so that's it. And he prophesied they're going to be regathered to that area. They have been. May 14th, 1946 is when they became a nation again. The people are there. They're good people. I've been to Israel twice, and they're good people. Enjoyed the company, enjoyed being there. So I support Israel, generally speaking, but also I support their right to be in the land specifically. And that's what I understand Zionism to be. So I'm going to do some research on it. Okay.
Okay, fair enough. I guess I'll do a little more research myself so we can have a more thorough conversation in the future about it.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking up stuff in my Bible program on Zionism, and Evangelical Dictionary of Theology comes up. A movement for the reestablishment and support of a Jewish state in the territorial area defined as the historical land of Israel. So, yeah, there's what I'll probably do is get three or four different quotes, give the documentation for them, and then summarize the main points of each one, and then talk about them. That's what I'll probably end up doing. Because I got to do it.
Okay.
All right. All right.
All right, my notes. That's all I got for today.
Hey, man, you're awesome, buddy. I always appreciate it when you call. Good stuff. Okay.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. God bless you. Okay. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, it's easy. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. You can also, if you want, you can send an email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and just put the subject line, radio comment, radio question, and I can get to them later. So we do it when the... when it slows down. I like doing the Q&A too. All right, let's get to, I got somebody coming in, so wait till the information's in, and the producer's got, I can see what the producer's doing behind the scenes, so well, he's done. But I want to just give you a reminder that we do stay on the air by your support. If you want to continue to have me on the air, you like what you hear, please consider supporting this ministry. All you have to do is go to carm.org/donate, and everything you need is right there. We do stay on the air by your support. That's how we stay on the air. And it's just completely voluntary basis. Just so you know, we don't get paid to be on the air. A lot of times people think we make a lot of money being on the air with all the ads and stuff. Nope, that just goes to the station. They're the ones that get that revenue so they can keep going. So there you go. All right. So that's what it's about. And as long as God provides through his people, they will stay on the air. When he doesn't, then we won't be on the air. See? Simple. Easy peasy. All right. Let's get on with Mike from Ohio. Hey, Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, I just heard a little bit about your how to get a Happy Meal from you. My Jermaine from North Carolina, he said something about a Happy Meal, and I need to go online and prescribe for a Happy Meal. I love your show, and I love what you do.
Happy.
I mean, you're yeah. He said it's $5 a month you can do on your
oh yeah, an advertisement.
It's just as Yeah, and just as much as a Happy Meal. Yeah. So I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, I do. I'm old enough to remember that. Yeah, I try and say, you know, it's a cup of coffee or two, you know, $5 or $10 a month or something, but it's not much. What we're asking for, since you brought it up, is $5, or I asked $10 a month. If we get 1,000 people, that sounds like a lot of money coming in. Well, when you've got missionaries all over the world and stuff, it goes fast. So it does, and we've always struggled. But at any rate, there you go.
Well, thank you. My question is about predestination.
Okay.
How much does God predestinate individuals and where he leads them in their life to minister to other people? Does he make you a carpenter? Because then somewhere in your life that he's going to put you in line with someone else so he can minister to that person. How much does God involved in all that? And I've been struggling. I mean, thinking about that a little bit, and I'm saying, thank you, God, for putting me in these situations, but do I have any free will with this? Or do not? I don't have any free will of this. And
okay, well, let me jump in and let's get through some of this.
So thank you.
We need to define our terms first. And predestination generally is God's action in arranging something to occur as a specific result. There are different levels that we could talk about in God's predestining. Because it says in Ephesians 1:11, he works all things after the counsel of his will. Nothing occurs without God's will involved with it. This includes evil. So God wills to permit evil, because he could stop it. Oh, he could stop it easily. He could just, you know, snap his celestial fingers and all evil stuff is gone. He could do it if he wants, but he doesn't. Now, why he doesn't, that's another topic. But the thing is that God is the sovereign king, and he works all things according to his will. Now, some people then say that predestination means direct causation. And people often misunderstand the biblical doctrine of predestination, proorizo, and they misunderstand it thinking it's direct causation and that it restricts you from free will. And it's not the case. And I've helped a lot of people with this over the years. So, you know, Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. And so we know that God works all things after the counsel of his will, and that he creates certain things. Now, what I'm going to do is just read some scriptures first. We can go through some things, and so we can get a biblical basis. So now what I'm going to do is go to Acts 4:27 and 28. For truly in this city that were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So they were gathered together against Jesus, Herod and Pontius Pilate, that's two individuals, and Gentiles and peoples of Israel, that's two people groups, to do what God predestined to occur. That means it's predestined. And yet they're free. And we'll get to that after the break, okay? So hold on. Please stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on there with Mike from Ohio. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you.
Sure.
You were talking about, here's my question. God uses us as an instrument. Instrument to lead other people to Christ. And how much I'm contemplating or pondering, I guess you would say. I'm not very good with words. I'm sorry, not as good as you, Matt. I mean, that's why I listen to you. How much does God control us or allow us or direct us based on our letting us? I guess what I'm trying to say is, how much does God want to strum us? I mean, or pound our drum to go in a certain direction? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're asking a difficult question.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yep. Yeah, it's by nature a difficult question, you know. And when you say how much, that gets into the issue of percentages and how many times out of this he does this or that, and can't answer that. The question is, does he influence us? Yes, he does. He turns the heart of the king where he wishes it to go, Proverbs 21:1. He does.
Right.
And so in Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? So he's the sovereign king. And yet we're free at the same time. And so free will is the ability to make a choice consistent with your nature. It doesn't mean that, let me put it back up. It has to be consistent with your nature, because that definition has to include God. Free will must include God as a standard, not us as a standard. And this is what too many Christians do. Their beginning point of defining terms is themselves, not God. So they'll say, well, I'm the one who chose Jesus. I'm the one who could do evil or good. So therefore, free will is the ability to make a choice between either one. You could do either one. Well, that's humanist philosophy. God cannot choose to do evil. He can only do that which is consistent with his holy nature. So free will has to be defined by God, not by man. And therefore, free will is the ability to make a choice that's not forced, but it's consistent with your own nature. And so we have to understand that our freedom is limited. We are able to make choices, but all of our choices work under the sovereignty of God, because he works all things after the counsel of his will. People have a lot of problem with this. At this point, what I do is I just jump over to where Jesus in John 5:19 and John 5:30, he says he could do nothing of his own initiative, but that what he sees the Father do. Now, Jesus is God in flesh. He had free will, but yet he said he could only do what he saw the Father do. So what we see here is the compatibility between God's sovereignty, God the Father's sovereignty, and the human free will of Jesus. That they're not contradictory, but they work together. Now, libertarian free will is the view that a person is able to choose contrary, basically contrary to his nature. And that's not exactly accurate, but it's a way of understanding that he has the power of contrary choice and he can do good or evil. But that's not the biblical position, because the biblical position is that a person who's an unbeliever can only do evil because he's a slave of sin, Romans 6:17. He can do no good, Romans 3:10, 11, and 12, and it goes on. And so we would say that the biblical type of free will is not libertarian, but compatibilist. Compatibilist free will says that our human freedom is compatible with the will of God and the sovereignty of God. Just as I read those verses earlier with Acts 4:27-28, he says, that Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the Jews were people of Israel, were gathered together to do what God predestined to occur. And yet, when you go to Acts 4:23, it says this. It says, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. So what this is showing is that God is the sovereign king, and that even though God is one who gathered them to do certain things against Jesus, they're the ones responsible. Well, how is this possible? One of the ways I use as an illustration that God can certainly cause you to do something without violating your free will. People say it's not possible. So yeah, it is. Certainly it is. All the time it is. So I say, for example, I use this illustration. I say, I'm at this guy and I, or whoever it is, you and me, you know, whoever's talking to me. I say, you and I are at a cafe. To my right, to your left, is a window. We're sitting at a table. We're drinking a cup of coffee. We're discussing things. And what I want you to do is look out the window when I desire to have you look out the window. And so I do a countdown or whatever it is, and I say, Okay, now. And then I point out the window and I exclaim, what the heck is that? And you look over and you look out the window. Well, did I force you to do it? No. Did I cause you to do it? Yes, in one sense. Did it violate your free will? No, it did not. Then we get into the issue of what's called efficient and proximate causation. So Adam was in the garden. He sinned. He is the one who freely chose to sin and rebel against God, so therefore he is the efficient cause. That means he is the one who was responsible and initiated his own action and choice. But God is the proximate cause of Adam's sin. But the proximate cause is not the same thing as the efficient cause. The proximate cause is the issue that a situation or condition in which a free will choice can occur. The situation was God made the Garden of Eden, put the trees there, the fruit, and said, don't eat of that fruit, and let Satan come in the garden, knowing what would happen. And so he's the proximate cause, but not the efficient cause. Proximate causation is simply the arranging of the condition. But the efficient cause is exactly that, the one who does the action of his own sin. And so God can bring about certain events by changing the will, of moving the heart of the king where he wishes it to go, opening the heart of people like he did Lydia in Acts 16:14. He can also open the mind of people to understand the scripture as Jesus did in Luke 24:45. And he can bring causation to bear to where you freely choose to do something he wants you to do. And he can also, and we have another thing about this, is that he also has what we call the different aspects of his will, decretive, prescriptive, and permissive. The decretive will, let there be light, bang, there's light. The prescriptive will, you shall not lie. The permissive will, God lets you lie. He wills to permit you to do that which is against his moral requirements. So then we see that within what's called the efficient cause, the proximate cause, the prescriptive will, the permissive will, then we can see how things work together. When we look at Jesus and we see that he has free will, but he also is under the predestined plan of God, the Father, then we see that predestination and free will work together. And there's the proof. Hey, there's a hard break. Hold on. We'll be right back. We'll get back to you right after for the closing comments. After the break, Mike, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned, everybody, to the messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Mike real fast before we get to the other callers. Okay, Mike, did that help, buddy?
Yes, it did. And then real quick question, a real quick comment. I live by this, I do, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, make your path straight. So what you're just saying, if you trust in God, he's going to direct your path and he's going to lead you in the right direction. And he's already predestined all that. He already knows all about it. And if he already knows all about it, he's going to take care of it. So
right.
Why would you worry about it?
Because we're sinners. But you have it
exactly.
Right. Yeah. And we are free, and then there's a mystery involved in that the prayers of a righteous man avail much with God. And so how does that work if he knows all things? You know, I don't know. I know I'm free.
I don't know either.
In Christ. Yeah. And just go forward. That's all. And that's it.
Amen.
Trust God and move.
Amen.
All right, brother?
Amen. Well, thank you for your call. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your show. All right.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Now let's get to Adrian from North Carolina. Adrian, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. God bless you and yours.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I don't know if your screener let you know, but on Friday the 13th, we got a devastating news about my sister, my little sister. She has pancreatic cancer with metastasis to the liver and to the adrenal glands. God bless her. She says, I'm going to fight this. She is the sweetest girl. I'm just devastated. The only time I get any rest, any peace, is when I'm asleep. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I've had my fist up to God saying, why take me? Take me instead, not my 63-year-old precious baby sister. Oh, God. And I love the Lord, and she loves the Lord, and so does her husband, Tony. But this, and I know, look what Jesus did for us. Look what Jesus did for me. I can't stand it. I have to stand it. I have to stand it and be supportive of her and show support in front of her, not tears and anguish. And, oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, just by coming on the air and talking, you know, there's so many people whose hearts are breaking and who have similar issues they're dealing with, and some who don't and are just sympathetic. But a lot of people are now going to be praying for you and your sister. God knows who she is. And we had a friend who had stage 4 lung cancer. And the prognosis was very short. She lived for several years afterwards. And she was by God's grace, you know. And she was a Christian, too. And then one day she ended up going home, as we all will one day. But
yes.
It's hard. You know, my wife is going through a lot of medical things. And so we're facing this on a daily basis. How do you support someone who is in the midst of struggles that could lead to their demise, that could lead, you know, their suffering? And all you can do is be there, not try and say too much, you know, hold their hand if necessary, and just be there and talk to them and love on them. And since she's already a Christian, praise God, and you're there.
Amen.
For,
praise God.
Yeah, my heart breaks for you. It's bad.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well. Oh God, oh man, sorry.
Can I pray for you?
Can I pray for you right now? Thank you, and I'm holding your hand.
Okay.
Her name is Sheila.
Her name is what?
Her name is Sheila.
Sheila, okay.
Sheila.
Okay, Lord Jesus, I want to lift up Sheila to you right now, Lord, where she is. Maybe she's listening, maybe she's not. But, Lord, we ask that you would minister to her heart and her body, and that you would heal her miraculously. But if you choose not to, Lord, that you would just comfort her heart and those around her, and that somehow, some way through it, people would come to faith in you, because you're the miracle worker.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, for your protection on her, and the family and those who love her. We ask, Lord, for your mercy on them, that your hand of comfort would be on them and in them through all of this. And we ask this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Your holy name. I just don't understand how this will glorify his name.
When we lost our son and he died from a birth defect, all I can say is, having looked back on it, we saw how God was glorified. And the way it worked was by my wife and I trusting God beyond our ability to understand. We chose to trust in him, in it. And things just manifested. Things just manifested in ways that only we understood. And we knew that God was there. And yet our son had to die, for whatever reason he did. And that's what happened.
Bless him, brother.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, you tell her we're praying for her, okay? All right. Well, God bless.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and we have a prayer ministry here that's run by Joanne, and you can just email requests to prayer@carm.org, P-R-A-Y-E-R, you know, prayer@carm.org, prayer@carm.org. And, you know, she does a great job. She's a sweet woman, loves the Lord and has a deep Southern accent. She thinks I'm the one with the accent, but that she has a deep Southern accent. Any rate, so if you want, you can lift her up, and also if you have prayer requests as well. All right, let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Maslick. My question is, why so many Christians are fighting to say that they're the chosen people? A real chosen people is me, because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, says God has chosen us in Christ Jesus to put a foundation on earth. That solves the problem. Why don't y'all be fighting between the blacks, are really the chosen, or the whites, are the white are the chosen people? It's the Puerto Ricans, me, chosen before the foundation of earth. I'm the chosen people. And also, I don't need to bless...
Wait. Do you have a question? You have a question.
My question is, why all this fighting about who's the real chosen people? The Bible says who's the real chosen people.
Well, people fight over things like this because they don't submit to God's word. And they don't study what chosen people means. There's two kinds. There's the chosen people of Israel, and God's not done with them yet. And then there's the chosen for salvation, and that's not done yet either. So if people were to submit to what God said about the chosen people, then we wouldn't have any argument. We'd say there's two kinds, and there you go. Okay.
And also, people say, well, those who bless Israel, God will bless them. Well, God, I don't need to bless Israel to bless me. If you read in chapter 1, verse 3, God said, he who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ Jesus. What more blessings do I need? I don't need God to bless Israel to bless me. He already blessed me in Christ already. Right? So what more? God with the blessings to bless me. Christ would bless me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So that solves the problem right there, too. What do you think about that?
It works. It works, too. That's right. But they need to focus on God's word and believe what it says. That's what needs to happen.
Okay? But it's all that bickering, fighting, and against each other and all that, right?
Yes, there's a lot of bickering and fighting, and I just tell people regularly, if you just believed everything I did, everything would be fine.
That's okay? Right. That's
everything,
right.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, all your listeners, I want all your listeners to send me the money, because I'm the only true prophet in Savannah. We're really reaching the gospel.
Wait. What did you say? Send you money because you're a true prophet? Is that what I heard?
I'm the true son of God, really witnessing to everybody in Savannah with a true gospel Christ, so they can send them out to me. It'd be useful.
Well, okay, then you need to think.
I'm the only one really reaching the lost in the streets.
See, you can't say you're the only one, but God has his ways.
I've never seen nobody out there. I've been doing it for years.
Hold on. Just because you don't see anybody doesn't mean God doesn't have his people doing what he wants them to do in different ways. Don't judge the church by not seeing people outside on a street corner. All right? Okay. All right, brother. Okay?
All right.
Okay, we'll talk to you later,
I'm
man.
The only one doing it, though.
Okay, well, you don't, maybe in that particular context right then and there, but there are others. All right, let's move on to Alice from North Carolina. Alice, welcome. You're on the air.
I just heard a lady that was devastated because of her sister was dying of cancer, and she wished she could take her sister's place. But as a Christian, our loved ones, when they die and go to heaven, we know that we're going to see them again. And in heaven, there's no more sickness or sorrow. And to kids, I sometimes...
Well, we have a break. Can you hold on? We have a break coming up. Sorry, but it's a hard break, so we got to take it. Hold on. I'll come right back to you. Okay, Alice? Okay. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, but welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Alice from North Carolina. Sorry about that, Alice. Okay, you're back on.
That's fine.
Okay.
As a Christian, we can accept the death of a loved one as a process of life, it bringing us to Christ. And we don't have anything to fear. And to children, I explain it to, like, have you ever been on vacation and somebody got there before you? And they say, yes. I said, well, it's like that, but only better. There's no more sickness or sorrows. So
yes, I know she knows that. I'm sure she knows that. Here's a thing about, you know, we are aware of that, but the pain is still there. Even though I think it's made more palatable by the comforting that truth that we know that we'll see our loved one again and they'll be in bliss with the Lord. But it still is very painful. It's difficult. It is.
Yeah, and like you said, that we can be there for them and help them through this is all that we can do and pray for them.
That's right.
But I just, my heart just went out to that lady because she kept saying that she wished it was her, but if she wished it was her, she's wishing to go on to glory and the better place before her sister. That's what bothered me.
Well, no, that's not the intention. It's just the intention of bearing another's burden and in a loving, self-sacrificial way to suffer what someone else might be suffering. It's an imitation of Christ, and that's a good thing. All right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted, even some of the other ones out there, I've heard people say, well, how can you be okay with so-and-so passing away? Ain't you angry at God? And no, I'm not angry at God. This is a processed life.
That is. And it's still, as difficult, even though we lose loved ones. The process is still very grievous and devastating. Even when we know we'll see them again, this is just the way it is with us. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Appreciate
you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now, next longest waiting is Joe from North Carolina. Joe, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Matt. Well, I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just had a question about the doctrine of laying on of hands, which is mentioned in Hebrews, seems to be one of the basics of the Christian faith. And, of course, Paul told Timothy not to neglect the gift that's in him, given by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So could I get your view on the doctrine of laying on of hands?
Well, it's used in many different senses in the Bible. It's one used as a transference of sin to an animal. It can mean blessing.
Yeah.
It can mean judgment. It can mean healing,
yeah,
the imparting of the Holy Spirit, a commissioning, as it is in Timothy. So it has several different meanings in different contexts. But as far as Christian ordination goes, it's a conveyance of blessing and supposedly some sort of authority of recognition. Okay?
Okay, we're on the same page. I appreciate that. And one other question. Are you coming to North Carolina in August?
I haven't wanted to but probably not. Probably not. I have to make a decision soon.
Well,
my wife's health is not such that I feel confident enough to be gone for several days on her side of the country. And I haven't made it official yet. We're going to still talk about a couple of things because we would need someone here to look after her. She's not, an invalid or anything, but still, it's just she's recovering from a lot of stuff. So we'll just see how she does. I'm probably going to cancel my trip to Jordan also, but I can't go. That's probably what's going to happen.
Okay, well, I hope your wife gets better. And if you come to North Carolina, I want to hope to meet you.
Well, people usually say that until after they've met me, then they're not impressed. So just pretend you're not impressed.
Well, we're a Sovereign Grace Church. I'd like for you to speak at our church if you come, but I don't know how that works in your schedule. But.
Yeah, I need to talk to my wife, and I'm going to say 50-50 right now that I'm going, not going. Because if she continues to improve in the next week or two, then I would go if we could find someone who could stay with her. You see, so it's like that. But even though she probably could drive right now and take care of herself, but still, it doesn't take much for something to go wrong. And every now and then something does, because, you know, it's just not a complaint, just what it is. So let's get it figured out, okay?
Yeah. Well, if you come and you can speak, call me. We'll be glad to work with you.
Well, I appreciate that. I love public speaking, too.
We'd like to meet you. A lot of people in North Carolina would like to come and hear you in person, I'm sure.
Well, okay. Okay, I've had people say that, and then they're not impressed, which is fine with me.
Yeah, so, you and I'd love to have lunch with you. I'd love to spend some time with you, to be honest with you. And we have a church in Lexington, so it would be right in your neighborhood where you'd be.
Yeah, what and I'm going to do, I'll talk to my...
Have somebody get my number. Yeah, have somebody take my number, and if you can come, call me.
Well, what I do is, if we go, I'm going to decide in the next week or so. I just continue to wait for her to see how she improves. And she's doing pretty well, actually. She's starting to get to the point where that's 50-50. Now, if I do go to North Carolina, I probably for sure will cancel my trip to Jordan because in November, because that's the other side of the world. And getting back could be very difficult. But, you know, I could hop on an emergency flight back from North Carolina, be back in, you know, 8 or 10 hours kind of thing. But not the rest of the world so easily. So, okay, we'll see. I do want to go out there. Yeah. I would love to. I love public speaking, love meeting people, and look forward to it. But, you know, if that's just not God's plan right now, that's not God's plan. Okay.
Yeah, you could speak Sunday morning, Sunday night. We have a Sovereign Grace Conference on the 4th of August. Glad to have you.
Yeah, we're supposed to, the dates of me going out there, let me get the calendar so I can tell you what the dates are supposed to be. And let's see, come on. Oh, you slimeball computer. All right, there we go. July, August. It's supposed to be the 15th, the 17th. I'm supposed to speak at a conference on ministry to Muslims. So I was thinking if I'm going to go out there, I might stay an extra couple of days and just go up and see people and meet people. Maybe one thing I've done before is just tell everybody I'll be at a certain, you know, pick a restaurant someplace and say, I'll be there. You know, I'll just be there at such and such a time.
You call me when you come, and we'll schedule a night or day, whatever, to speak at our church.
Well, okay, appreciate it. I'll have to talk to my wife about stuff, and if she's not even comfortable at all, I won't do it because she comes first.
Well, so. I'm sure I understand it, and I hope she does well, and I hope she does good enough you can come out here and speak to us.
Well, it'll be fun. You know, I do enjoy it, and I haven't had the privilege of preaching in a long time or public speaking very often lately because of life. Just what it is. Okay? All right.
Well, I hear you quote Ephesians 1:11. He works all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that his gives will. Me a lot of comfort. That, amen, brother.
That's right. His will, not mine.
When things go wrong, I take a lot of comfort in that verse.
Me too. Well, appreciate it.
God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate you, sir, and I hope you get to come and speak to us.
Well, just pray, and we'll see. God can arrange things. If he arranges for someone to be here for a week with my wife full time, then I could go. You know, then I could do it.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, have somebody get my number. I want you to call me.
Well, tell you what, if I do go, I'll be announcing it in the radio, and then we can arrange something, okay? Because I do want to know about other opportunities to meet people, because it would be fun. Radio show's been out there for a few years. Would love to be able to meet some folks. So, okay?
Yeah, you could announce it, and I'm sure you'd have a church full.
Well, I don't know about that.
And we'd love to have you. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Well, praise God. I appreciate it.
You'd describe us as Reformed, so you'd feel good.
I love Reformed stuff. I love Reformed theology. I love it so much, I would marry it.
Okay. Yeah, you and me both, brother.
Uh-huh.
I love it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The greatness of God.
It's a precious doctrine. Yeah. Give the glory to God. God forbid that we should glory, saving the cross.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, brother. I'm going to get another caller.
Let me know.
Well, I'll announce it if we do. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye. All right. Well, that's a good call. It's encouraging. I like to hear that. And I just sincerely love public speaking. Most people are terrified of it. Me, it's like, get me up there. I just love being able to teach and preach about God's word. Oh, what a privilege. Let's get to Chuck from Ohio. Hey, Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I got a question on reading the Bible. Do you use a Bible reading plan?
No.
Or do you most of the time go by topics or by what? Just what comes up in your life, or just, you know, what people are asking you, or...
Well, I'm different, you know, because I'm always doing apologetics. Even at 68, you know, I'm still researching. And so I have the Bible as a tool, mostly, and that's a problem. It's a tool to find answers, a tool to teach people, a tool to convey truth. And that's a good thing, but it also needs to be just a place of devotion. And I do less devotion than I do using it as a tool to equip, to train. So that's just a balance issue. But I don't have a reading plan, except when I feel like it, I'll just start reading through the Bible and, you know, read for a few months from the beginning to end. Or I might get an inclination to study a particular chapter in a book and just read through it and just let it wash over me and study it. And, you know, it just depends because I'm different, you know. And so that's why.
Okay. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, thank you. That's kind of the way that I do it. I've never really used the plan. I keep thinking that maybe I will, but so far I haven't. I just kind of apply what's going on in my life and my wife and family and kids, and what, you know, what does the Bible say about what's going on, and so it's kind of the way I do it.
Well, good. That's it. I think it works. As long as we're in the Word. And the only thing I would say is, like, for me, I need to be a little bit less academically minded with it and more devotionally minded. That's okay. So, all right?
Yeah. Okay, right. Thank you.
All right. Okay, brother. All right. God bless.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
You too. All right. Hey, we are out of time. There's the music. And may the Lord bless you. Perfect timing. Now, by God's grace, back on here tomorrow. And I just got word I'm going to be on TikTok in about 10 minutes to do some answering questions. Someone just invited me. And Marlon Wilson, he's a great brother in the Lord. And by God's grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.